at the war.
In 1987, 2 years after he won his featherweight world championship title, Barry McGuigan received the devastating news that his father, Pat, was ill. At just 52 years of age, he had been diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, a rare type of blood cancer, and was told he had no hope of survival. Barry has now taken on the role of Blood Cancer Awareness Month ambassador. He's with me in studio, as also is Professor Michael O'Dwyer, consultant hematologist and professor of hematology at NUI Galway. Thank you both indeed for coming in. Barry, a diagnosis like that is obviously shocking for everyone involved. I mean, can you take us back to when you first heard that your dad, Pat McGuigan, was his stage name, was ill?
Well, it was only because they couldn't pronounce McGuigan. It was pretty devastating, to be perfectly honest. And he went on his own, and because he feared the worst. He was always, my dad was always a bit of a hypochondriac. But the way the consultant sort of gave him the news was very harsh and blunt, and I was very, very, very cross about it. And
how was the news given to him?
Well, he just told him that what the test that they carried out on him gave him very little hope. And I think my dad being, Professor Michael mentioned it earlier today, a bit of a fatalist, and he thought that was it. And he gave up in many ways.
And what were his symptoms before he went for the test?
If I remember correctly, he had a swelling in his diaphragm, one side of his diaphragm, and just below his ribs. And then he got a very, very bad pains. And then he went and had the various tests done and then was given the news.
And what did you and other members of your family know, Barry, at that stage?
Very little, to be honest, Sean. Very little. I hadn't heard of a non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. I just didn't know what it was. And obviously since that I've found out in great detail, but I don't know. Professor Michael is here beside me. I don't know whether they would have changed. It's impossible to know. But I think the methods of treatment.
I think that phone of yours is misbehaving. Barry.
Misbehaving. I'll just take it away. I'm very sorry about that. I don't know that. I'm sure the treatment would be different this day. But I think if he was around now, he might not have passed away. And I think treatments are certainly much more varied and much more personalised these days, and in the sense that they know much more about it, and 30 years have elapsed and so many more people have died. And I suppose to know how to do the right type of procedures and know more about the illness, more people have to die, unfortunately. So that's just a circle of life. But for us, it was devastating.
Yeah, and I'll come to Michael in a minute because he, as you say, is the expert on this. But, I mean, how long was it from your dad getting that diagnosis to his passing?
9 or 10 weeks. That's just it was Professor Higgins and it was St. Vincent's Hospital. And, you know, as I came out here today, I looked down the road.
Yeah, I mean, even now, I mean, all those years later, it kind of comes back and it hits you. And I'm sure lots of good people like the professor would work on things like that and doing all they can. But these things, those wounds, they never close, do they, Barry?
Not really, no.
Yeah. Now, to turn to you, Michael O'Dwyer, as I say, consultant hematologist and professor of hematology at NUI Galway. Do we know, as Barry suggests, a lot more about blood cancer now than maybe we have?
I think we do. I think we know a lot more about better ways of diagnosing it, better ways of treating it. I think also, you know, in cancer generally, the supportive care is an awful lot better. But back in the 1990s, for example, the data from the National Cancer Registry indicates that about 50% of patients with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma survive 5 years, whereas now that's up to about 70%. So clearly we're doing better in terms of treatment, and you know, some of the new advances that have been brought in since the time that Barry's dad was diagnosed include a treatment such as monoclonal antibodies, or using the immune system as a part of the treatment combined with chemotherapy. And this has really led to very significant improvements in outcome for patients.
Just to rewind a little bit more, I mean, blood cancer is an umbrella term for a range of conditions. Now, can you take us through? I think there are three main groups.
Yeah, so exactly. So altogether, Probably more than 1,500 patients are diagnosed each year in Ireland with blood cancers. And the main categories are the lymphomas, which account for about 50%. And of the lymphomas, most of those are non-Hodgkin's lymphomas. And then a small minority are Hodgkin's lymphoma. Then about 30% are the leukemias. There's a number of different types of acute and chronic leukemias. And then multiple myeloma accounts for about 16% of all blood cancers.
So blood cancer, would rank still behind, say, would it, like breast cancer as a killer, lung cancer, maybe bowel cancer?
It's actually the fourth major cause of cancer-related mortality in Ireland, and I believe in the US it's actually number three. So it is a significant cause of cancer-related mortality, and I think people, you know, don't really realise out there. But having said that, I wouldn't want to be, you know, giving the picture that somehow this is, you know, for many patients a very severe, you know, death sentence or something to have. That there is a lot of hope that we have very good treatments now for most patients.
No, there's no doubt about it. I mean, I met two fabulous people this morning, both in treatment at the moment, and they look fine and healthy. One was diagnosed in 2010, one was diagnosed in 2011, and, you know, people can live quite a long time.
Case, 6 or 7 years, respectively.
With treatment, and they both look great.
And, Michael, the Make Blood Cancer Visible campaign, that's being launched today. That's why you and Barry are here, obviously. I mean, what are the elements or what are the strands to that?
So I think one of the most important things that we'd like to get across is to make people aware of the different types of blood cancers that there are, but in particular what the symptoms are. So, you know, there's clear evidence that the earlier that people are diagnosed with blood cancers, that the better the outcome. So, for example, if you take the disease that is, you know, I deal with very closely called multiple myeloma, there are three stages 1, 2 and 3. And if somebody is diagnosed at stage 1, their chances of long-term survival are 3 times better than that of somebody with stage 3.
What are the symptoms that might lead somebody to present themselves to a GP and then in turn to you, which, you know, would lead them to be, if you like, discovered in time, or just the illness discovered in time?
Well, in terms of lymphomas, it may often be, as in the case maybe of Barry's dad, a swelling of a gland. So some people might notice a swollen lymph glands in the neck, under the arm, in the groin, for example. Anything like that that is, you know, quite a significant swollen gland, and the longer it goes on, it shouldn't be ignored. It should be brought to the GP's attention. Symptoms such as fatigue, you know, weight loss, unexplained fevers, sweating at night time. Then there are symptoms related to the failing of the bone marrow. So if the leukemia, for example, or a lymphoma is overtaking the bone marrow, patients develop anemia, they have fatigue as a result. Low white blood counts can lead to infection. A lack of platelets can lead to bruising and bleeding. So all of these symptoms, and bone pain is another symptom that's important. Unexplained bone pain can be due to myeloma or leukemia on occasion.
Now, I think there's been a fairly significant development recently where the pharmaceuticals are concerned, or the treatments are concerned. There's this Novartis AG's leukemia treatment.
Yeah, so this is something I think that is really, really very significant. In fact, I would say revolutionary. That we are really on the cusp of a whole new wave of treatments for cancer. So just last week, the FDA approved a treatment whereby a patient's own immune cells are taken out of the body, they're genetically engineered to recognize the cancer, and then they're put back in to the patient. And in patients with acute leukemia, acute lymphoblastic leukemia, who have been completely resistant to all typical treatments, there has been a very, very high response rate of over 80% with this treatment, and it's truly revolutionary.
That's very encouraging news, obviously. But just to go back to where Barry started, you presumably have to give people bad or at least very worrying news. How do you deal with that?
Well, I think, you know, there isn't a one-size-fits-all approach. I think you need to really, you know your patient. You need to kind of know what they're able to take in terms of bad news. And, you know, sometimes, you know, as I get to know somebody, I'll, you know, determine what exactly they want to know themselves. Sometimes it may be on a need-to-know basis. Sometimes people may want to know, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly. But I think also it depends on the nature of the news you're giving, and having family support present can also be, you know, very, very beneficial. And providing patient information, leaflets, and so on, I think is very, very valuable. But I think it's important always to give hope to people that there is always a chance, no matter how grim things seem, that we can always do something for them.
Yeah, certainly meeting those two patients this morning, they're amazing. I mean, and they've had it, as I mentioned, for a number of years. So it's great. It's very encouraging.
Barry, I can't let you go without asking you about the obvious question. McGregor, what did you think? I know you were quite sceptical about his prospects.
Well, I think I predicted pretty well. I mean, Mayweather is, you know, fantastically talented, and an amazingly talented guy, 40 years old, out of the ring a couple of years. And really spent his whole life being a defensive boxer. So he suddenly became an offensive attacking fighter. And that's why McGregor won the first couple of rounds. But, you know, it was just unfair on McGregor. McGregor's a great athlete, but good at his own thing. There's a subtle difference between boxing and UFC. And it takes years to develop that sort of skill. So you can't learn it in 6 months. Well, you can attempt to, and then you can get...
But do you think he gave a reasonable account of himself?
I thought he was very brave. And he went out on his shield, and he put up a great fight, and, you know, made himself $80 million in the meantime. So, which obviously was the whole objective in the first place.
We could all take a bit of unfairness in those circumstances, couldn't we?
Yeah, go in myself and get hammered for that.
Barry McGuigan, thank you indeed for coming in your role as ambassador for Blood Cancer Awareness Month. My thanks as well to Professor Michael O'Dwyer, consultant hematologist and professor of hematology at NUI Galway.
Thank you, Sean.
We'll be talking to Jacinta Kate about positive behaviour and relationships and emotions in the classroom and elsewhere. That's after the break.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1. RTE Radio 1.
The award-winning novel, The Spinning Heart.